Okay, good morning everybody in Shavua Tov. So Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130 is obviously the psalm that we know the best. I think it's certainly the psalm that we recite the most in times of distress. The Radak already alludes to this in his commentary on the Mizmor. I just wanted to highlight, it's so well known, Sheramalos Mima Makim Krasicha Adonai. I just wanted to highlight 3 points, two of which are already raised by the Malbim, and then an idea, of my own, to contribute towards the end. So the first idea is, of course, this is a mizmor, literally from the depths. When a person is feeling, or a community is feeling, at a loss and helpless and distanced from Hashem, and the idea that somehow prayer can ascend from even, the deepest of pits. That God doesn't need us to pray at a certain decibel level or from a certain proximity, but that is the power of our tefillos, particularly when we're talking about at the communal setting. That God is always close to us. Tefillos harabim nishmas. We have a kind of a promise that the prayer of the community is always heard, no matter what the distance might be. But already, we know that on some level this applies to the individual. Karov Adonai l'chol karav, l'chol asher yikra'u v'emes. And as long as a person is being sincere, there is that closeness that we have to Hashem. And so the most basic idea of this mizmor is that no matter how lost a person feels, spiritually lost, physically lost, no matter how helpless a person feels, right, that this kind of despair is not part of our spiritual vocabulary, because at the very least, even if we're not going to be able to reasonably expect kol mishalod libenu, everything that we would want, we still have the sense of God's presence. And that's a very important idea. And the capacity to pray earlier in Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech expresses the idea, Baruch Hashem, right, asher lo hisir chasdo tefilasi meimi, that God has not taken away my capacity for prayer, the ability to engage in prayer. Number one is a great privilege. So that's number one. Then to get to the 2 contributions of the Malbim, so I guess it'll be 4 overall. So the Malbim points out, in the pasuk it says kim chas licha lamanti varei. So we know we have a tradition that God doesn't allow the powers of forgiveness to be delegated. Lo after the sin of the Egel Azav, when God was contemplating the idea of sending an agent in Malach to lead the Jewish people, which Moshe eventually talked him out of. But Hashem says, Lo yisal lefishacham, he's not going to be able to forgive you. Kishmi bikirbo. We know that Hashem doesn't grant the opportunity to forgive to any other. And the important idea there is that we always have to confront this. So there's no running away from our limitations or our shortcomings, and that's part of our relationship with Hashem, is to engage Hashem on that level as well. And the Malbim notes, l'man tivarei, that increases our sense of awe and reverence for Hashem in the end. When human beings want to make an impression, so they, set an example. They make an example out of somebody. But the ultimate power is expressed in the power of forgiveness. We could learn, as human beings, we could learn a little bit of something from this. If we hold everybody to account, if we hold everybody to the line of summary judgment, we'll never be able to, we will never be able to have meaningful relationships with people. Everybody disappoints us on occasion. Everybody's imperfect. And Hashem certainly doesn't treat the world that way. If he did, there would be no world. As the expression of Chazal goes, im yesh din in olam, im yesh olam ein din. So there's some truth in that. And that's one of the Malbim's notes, that God's reverence, our reverence for God and our sense of God's power is only increased, of course, by his capacity to forgive. Second point is, as only the Malbim could have done, he distinguishes between 2 related terms that appear at the end of the Mizmor, when it seems that we're yearning for Hashem. Kivisi Adonai Kivsan Avshiv Lidvaro Hochalti. So what's the difference between the Shoresh of Kuf Vav Hei, to yearn for Hashem, and Lidvaro Hochalti Yachel Yisrael Adonai Kimenei Chasid Verabei Mofidus? So the Malam explains that the first term, like hatikva, the hope that the Jewish people have had, kivisi adonai kivsa nafshi v'lid v'ro achalti. So when we talk about the yearning of the Jewish people, so that's mitzad, as he says, amikave. That not necessarily based on objective considerations about how likely something is to occur, but that we yearn for something. In this case, we yearn for Hashem's salvation, even if, you know, we don't have any objective considerations that would lead into that. We just have a natural yearning for something. People want something very deeply, even if it seems very far-fetched. So that's described by the term, you know, tikva, and that's actually very appropriate for the national anthem of the State of Israel, right? Hatikva, that even if it seemed well beyond anything objective, you know, this is something, hatikva bat shnot alpayim, we yearn for 2,000 years. But the Malbim doesn't give that specific example, right? But you could certainly apply it. That shorash of hochala is actually based on more objective considerations. When you know that the object to which you're yearning, or in this case, Hashem, in whom we place our trust, right, is certainly trustworthy. And so, in both respects, the Jewish people have always hoped for Hashem, have always yearned for Hashem, and always at the same time, that's the Shorash of Tikvan, and always at the same time, Yachel Yisrael al Hashem, Im Hashem HaChesed, Veri Bebo Fidos, that we've always known that God's promise was substantive, and that in the end, God's word is inviolable. There's one last observation on my part. Again, it's very rich mizmor. That he will redeem the Jewish people, not v'hu soleach as Israel, not v'hu mochel as Israel. Right? These aren't the typical words that we would find in this situation, and I think it's very striking. It's very important. Because what's being described here is the idea of pidyon from sin. Sometimes our sins have ensnared us so much that the only way that we can really think about you know, overcoming them is to be extracted from them. Like, we feel like they've ensnared us, that we're tethered by them. So v'hu yifdeh es Yisrael, literally like pidyon shvuyim, right? This is a very important part of our relationship with Hashem and the notion of sin in general. Sometimes in the Rambam, this guy describes this in the 7th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, right, that when a person has sort of sins of character in different ways, right, kasha lifrosh meyam, it's very difficult for a person to extricate himself. So we ask God to help sort of snap the cords that bind us in terms of sins. Again, just to summarize a couple of ideas. Number one, that we're never too far from Hashem in terms of tefillah. That's number one. It's important for us to always remind ourselves of that. And number two, as the Malbim points out, having to go directly to Hashem's address for forgiveness only increases our sense of awe and reverence from unlike human beings who don't forgive as an expression of power. Hashem's power is expressed through forgiveness. And that we can learn something from this in terms of being more forgiving with others. Number three, the Malbim's distinction between tikva and hochala, that when we yearn simply because it's in our hearts, but when it comes to Hashem, Yachel Yisrael Hashem, because it's very well placed. Our trust in God is always well placed. And finally, as I tried to point out, V'hu Yivdes Yisrael Mikol Avonosav, when we're ensnared by sin, we can extract ourselves, Hashem can help us extract ourselves, and that's ultimately our prayer, that we'll be elevated spiritually from those things that have heretofore served to restrict us. Everybody have a wonderful day.